He who does not take up his cross and follow me, he is not worthy of me.
In fact, he who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Barbara, Frida, and Claire, if you will take your places on the front pew. Following my charge to them and my word to you, we will proceed in the same manner that we did in honoring our Deacon Emerita, beginning with this section. They will take their places on the podium, and you'll have the opportunity to drop your notes of encouragement in the appropriate bag. Thomas Hermerkin was born late in the 14th century and entered the monastery in 1399. He proceeded to stay in that monastery for the next 72 years. And he distinguished himself as a preacher, as a writer, but primarily he was known for his composing devotional literature. And one of his works has essentially remained in print since he wrote it in the early 1400s. It's called The Imitation of Christ. As you begin your deacon service, I thought it wise to try to share with you the insights of this holy man in terms of what was necessary to develop the mind of Christ. And there is a section in his great book entitled Lovers of the Cross Are Few. And I want to share the key insights that he offers. First of all, he says, if you're going to develop as a spiritual leader, you must work to cultivate the inner life. Cultivate the inner life. None of us are naturally spiritual. We all have to work at developing our inner being, our openness to Christ. Truth is, Christ says, I will come into each heart and make household with you. But Christ often finds that when he comes into our hearts, there is not much room. Our other priorities, our other interests kind of crowd Christ out. So we have to cultivate, work at cultivating the inner life to make room for Christ within us. Thomas A. Kempis says something that I ponder all the time. We know best those with whom we commune most. We know best those with whom we commune most. In other words, as Christ communes with us, as we make room in our lives for communion with Christ, we come to know the will of Christ, the purpose of Christ, the values of Christ more intimately, and they come to claim our being more profound. Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate a spirit of humility. And the three of you might think, well, we're already pretty humble. We don't need to do that. But Thomas A. Kempis says, for most of us, what we call humility are really attempts to mask our pride. True humility comes with a recognition that every single person is someone for whom we are their servant. We are to serve everyone, which means, as you'll find as a spiritual leader, that means a willingness to do whatever task is called upon. And some of those tasks are prominent, even glamorous. Some of those tasks are menial. You think of busy work. And some of them actually run contrary to your own nature. But when you regard everyone as someone you should serve, when you regard every task as something you should fulfill, high or low, whether it is mundane or menial, every task is a pathway into understanding the kingdom of God. Cultivate a spirit of humility. Cultivate a peaceful spirit. Thomas A. Kempis says, a person with a peaceable spirit does more good than even a person of great knowledge. The truth is, there are always those who have suspicions about everyone's motives, but a person with a peaceable spirit turns everything to calm. And as church leaders, we enter our service with the assumption we have to put up with everyone because they have to put up with us. But here's the thing. Not everyone that you minister to is of a peaceable spirit. And yet Thomas A. Kempis says, those people who have general turmoil outside of themselves, it's usually because they have turmoil inside of themselves. And they most need the peace that you have to offer. Cultivate a peaceful spirit. Cultivate the virtues of simplicity and purity. Simplicity and purity. Simplicity of motive, purity of action. Think of simplicity and purity like two wings that lift your soul. Always ask, as you're about God's service, is what I'm doing in keeping with God's will? Is what I'm doing going to benefit God's family? Simplicity of motive inwardly, purity of action outwardly. And know this, says Thomas A. Kempis, a pure heart penetrates heaven and hell. A pure heart gives you wings with which your soul can soar above whatever challenge you face. Be slow to judge. Be slow to judge. All of us know people whose judgment is always erroneous. They're always misconstruing things. But we're not quite as apt to notice that same fallacy in our own judgment. We're very quick to recognize the foibles of others, but we're not so quick to recognize those flaws within ourselves. And sometimes, says Thomas A. Kempis, we need to pause and think about how we might harm others, just as we are very quick to take offense when someone harms us. Be slow to judge other people's motives and other people's actions. In fact, Thomas A. Kempis offers us some very profound advice. He says, the more we focus upon our own flaws, our own insufficiencies, the more attention we give to addressing those, the less time we have to address the foibles of others. The more we invest in addressing our own inadequacies spiritually, the less time we have to worry about how others have fallen short. Cultivate the joy of a good conscience. Cultivate the joy of a good conscience, because that is a safeguard against conceit and depression. I know this is going to be news to you, But spiritual service is often very difficult. And not all of your, even your best intentions and actions turn out like you planned. Sometimes trying to do good, we do harm. But if you have developed the joy of a good conscience, outward praise does not much inflate you, and outward criticism does not much deflate you. A good conscience is a safeguard against conceit or depression. As long, even when things don't work out as you plan, as long as you know that God knows your motives and they're pure, you have the joy of a good conscience. Above all, cultivate the love of Jesus Christ. Thomas Kempis was in a spiritual community for over 70 years. He knew a little something about spiritual maturity. And he says something which I ponder often. Service unto Christ can dry your own soul. Pouring yourself out for others can dry your own soul unless you allow Christ to nurture you and nourish you. And Christ can't just be one allegiance among a host of allegiances. There's no nourishment there. Christ has to be paramount in our souls in order to truly give us the strength and encouragement we need. You know this, but you will know it even more as church servants. Spiritual maturity is not one smooth upward climb. There are moments of great affirmation and moments where you feel absolutely abandoned, where neither your congregation nor your God appreciates what you're doing. But know this, Christ is ever faithful. The light always follows the darkness, even as spring always follows the winter. Christ is ever faithful to bring to us solace, peace, and calm in our service. Lovers of the cross are few. Lovers of the cross are few. Thomas A. Kempis notes that many people are willing to flock to the Easter feast, but not so many are willing to embrace the Lenten fast. On Christmas Eve, at least in normal times, sanctuaries are filled. They're not so filled on Good Friday. Lovers of the cross are few. And yet your discipleship to Jesus Christ involves taking up your cross and following. I tell every new group of deacons, the very first deacon, Stephen, was stoned to death. Not a very auspicious beginning for deacons. But he was stoned to death because of the vibrancy of his faith and the quality of his witness. Spiritual service is difficult. But when you take up your cross, the cross of Jesus Christ, and follow when you invest your lives for Christ's purpose, you find out who you truly are. That's the great paradox that Christ articulates. If we try to find our lives on our own, we'll lose it. When we take the cross of Christ upon us in service, we find our true destiny. I welcome you into the service of ordination, and know that this is a validation of this congregation of our confidence in you and in your faith. I invite you now to take your places.